It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this episode of Senior Talk. Today, we are discussing a unique volunteer program, Caring Calls, through Northern Light. Caring Calls provides a phone call to people, mostly older adults. Here to explain the program, how it works, its benefits, and how you can either get a call or make a call are Stacy Coventry, Northern Light Health's Director of Community Engagement and Animal Assisted Interventions, and a Caring Calls volunteer, David Walker. He's a retired long career in education, serving as a teacher, principal, and superintendent in Old Town. Thank you both so much for being here. I'm excited about this. This program just sounds really amazing. Stacy, I'm going to start with you. Mm-hmm. Will you explain what the program is? Give me a little history about Caring Calls.
Sure. So Caring Calls has existed in our community for over 40 years. It used to be under the umbrella of Northern Light Home Care and Hospice. And then with some restructuring that we decided to host it over at Eastern Maine Medical Center, because it's always been our volunteers that were making the phone calls. It was connected to the program that Home Care and Hospice had, Lifeline or Life Alert, where you would be able to set up that resource for people who were living alone vulnerably. What's wonderful about this program is I have the privilege of working with the wonderful volunteers who run this program. It is like 98% volunteer run. So they are just absolutely incredible. And what they do is they make a call. It's an opt-in service. So participants have to make the choice to enroll themselves or to participate in the program. The program is available statewide. So we will call participants all over the state of Maine. And what it is you basically work with our organization. You pick a time slot that works for you in the morning. We're usually making calls between 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning till about 10 o'clock in the morning. And you just basically commit to at least either being there to receive the call or to call in and just let us know that you're okay. It's essentially a wellness check. So it's for individuals who might be living alone, who want to be independent but are a little vulnerable and just want to have that assurance that someone's checking in. It's great for family members who live far away and want someone to check in on their elderly parent, but it's also good for caretakers. Maybe you are a spouse who's caring for somebody with, you know, a variety of medical needs, and if something happened to you, then you also, it affects the one that you're caring for. So there's lots of different ways of who might be eligible. We can make calls long term, or it could also be short term. Maybe you're getting discharged from the hospital and you just want someone to sort of check in on you those first weeks after you're getting discharged. So it's pretty simple and straightforward with that, but beyond that, it's really a nice way to connect with a lovely volunteer in our community. You make friends. They're all friends with each other. Our volunteers are always getting cards and little gifts from their friends. We have a little mailer that goes out so you can see the faces of those who are calling you. They get all the updates and all the gossip of the wonderful individuals that they're calling. So it's just become a little community. It may be over the phone, but it's definitely become quite a Caring Calls community.
It sounds just lovely. So the mm-hmm. calls are done in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Are they every day, or what if someone just wants a call once a week?
So we do offer calls Monday through Friday, but they can make their own schedule. Some of our individuals get a call daily. Others just say, you know what, Mondays and Wednesdays are better for me. I don't need a call the other days. I'm busy. I have lots going on. I have bingo. I have my doctor's appointments. People know where I am on those days. We do not make calls on the weekends or holidays, but Monday through Friday, you can set your own schedule with our team.
So you saying that if someone is away, maybe they went to bingo or they had a doctor's appointment, they need to call you and let you know, because what happens if you call this person at the designated time and they don't answer?
So if they don't answer and we don't have a call in from them or know ahead of time that they were, you know, going to be out of town or, sometimes they know that they're going in for a procedure and that they're not going to be home for a couple of weeks and they let us know that. We have an escalation process. So the first thing is we do require that individuals in our program have an emergency contact that we list. So we start there. We start calling anybody that we might know that they're like if they live in a building with other folks, if we might get in touch with a landlord or their emergency contact or a family member just to say, hey, we're trying to call, Mary Smith today and they haven't answered yet. It's not like them. Are you aware if she out? Is she okay? Anything going on. And eventually, if we can't locate, we'll call local hospitals as well, find out if something happened and they ended up in the hospital. And then eventually, if we can't get in touch with them, sometimes we'll give it, a small window of time to make sure. But then we will escalate to local authorities to do a wellness check. And we do that because that's the whole purpose of our program is to make sure people are okay. And I will say our volunteers through this program have saved lives. We have caught people having a medical event. And so they have been able to get authorities to their home in time that they were able to then get them to the hospital before things became too critical.
What is the criteria to get this call? You said people can, obviously they can go to the doctor, but they can go to bingo. So, is there a criteria? They have to live alone? Do they have to be not really homebound, but kind of more or less frail? Or can it be somebody who just wants to chat with a great volunteer?
Well, I mean, our volunteers do have a list that they have to walk through, so their chat time is limited, but they do their best to make connections, and it's not just a flyby call where they call and hang up. They do make connections and want to get to know the individuals that they're calling the best that they can. So conversation, sometimes a conversation is just a minute or two. It's just like, yep, I'm okay. Thanks for checking in. Talk to you tomorrow. Other times it is a little bit. So what's been going on? What'd you do over the weekend? Do you have any fun plans? And it's a little, it can be a little bit more than that. But the criteria really is, I mean, it's really just if you feel that it would be helpful to you for someone to be checking in. Maybe it's assurance to your adult children who are worried, and they're not always available to check in. Maybe it's post-surgical, and you just are like, you know what? I just am a little wobbly getting around on my feet after, and it would just be nice to know someone's checking in to make sure I didn't fall or something like that. But like I said, we also have couples that are, where one of the caregiver is on the list just to say, I could just use a little respite and someone to check in on me and make sure all is okay. And should something ever happen to me, now I have the assurance that myself and my loved one that I'm caring for is taken care of. So we're really broad and open that way. We do have a wonderful volunteer named Pat who will do all of the onboarding. So he goes through and has a sort of initial screening call to make sure it's appropriate. We do want to make sure that people are able to cognitively give permission and be engaged in the conversation, and that there's not going to create confusion or alarm that somebody they maybe don't know is calling them. So we want to make sure that there is that sort of alertness, that they are an appropriate fit, for the program that way.
Is there a cost to the participant?
No, it's completely free.
And it goes statewide, so I don't think there's such a thing as toll calls anymore. But if so, do you reimburse someone who is, if they accrue any phone charges?
We don't have a reimbursement program because it is a free program and we don't have revenue and we don't, it's not a billable service. But we're often calling, I think, people's cell phones. So the biggest thing is worrying about spam and people being concerned, especially in fairness, making sure that we're not calling and trying to scam anybody. So our volunteers are really good about vetting and making sure that people know our number and that our number is the one coming up on their caller ID. But so far, that has not been an issue since most people are using cell phones nowadays.
We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with David Walker, the volunteer who is just extraordinary. So stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. We are talking about caring calls through Northern Light. If you are interested in this program, either to make a call or get a call, the number is area code 207-973-7848. 973-7848. To look at the website to see it, just Google Northern Light Health Caring Calls. That's the easiest way to find it. Northern Light Health Caring Calls in your search bar. And you can also email caringcalls@northernlight.org. Caringcalls@northernlight.org. David, you are a volunteer. How long have you volunteered for Caring Calls, and what made you decide that this was the volunteer opportunity for you?
Well, I retired as superintendent of schools in Old Town in June of 2022, and having worked my whole life, was nervous about being bored in retirement. Unnecessarily nervous, by the way. But I inquired at the hospital. One of my dreams was always to rock babies at the hospital. You know, everybody wants to be one of those. And so I filed my application to volunteer at the hospital, met with Stacy, and found out that there's a long line of people waiting to rock babies at the hospital. But Stacy said to me, "Are you open to other programs?" And I said, "Yeah, what do you got?" And so she told me about this program called Caring Calls. And it sounded interesting to me, having gone through a period where after my dad died, my mom was alone. And so thinking about how she enjoyed conversation of any kind, and how we as family worried about her during the day, that it would be nice. So sure, we'll give it a whirl. So that's how I got attached to Caring Calls. And so I've been doing it for about 4 years now. And I think I always share with people when they ask about my experiences, I assure them that I get way more than I give. Making friendships with the people that I call, I come away every day having learned something. I come away every day having laughed at something, and just feel good about the fact that we had had that connection. Some of the people that we call, it's a quick, "Hey, how are you?" And quick talk about the weather, and it's over. And others, you realize that they really want to chat for a few minutes, because this may be the only human interaction they have that day. And so so you get to know that as a volunteer, and we chat about all sorts of things. I try to make them laugh. They always make me laugh. And so it's been a great experience for me. And I highly recommend both ends of it. I highly recommend it to people who have that need, but I also recommend it as a volunteer opportunity as well.
Do you make the calls from your home, or do you have to go to an office?
We have a small office at Northern Light Health, Eastern Maine Medical Center. So we go into the hospital. It's kind of nice to be a part of that big organization in a very small way. But we do have a space that we go in and make calls. You can go by the cafeteria and grab a cup of coffee and a muffin on your way in if you'd like. So we work from the hospital.
But you do call people statewide, which is nice.
All over the state. So by the end of my shift each day, I kind of know what the weather is in Fort Kent and in Fort. And it can be quite different, by the way. So yes.
How many people do you call in a day?
Our list right now is in the 50 participant range, and there are usually two people on a shift. So you would make 25 calls, give or take. When I started this, we were probably in the 70 range. We're at a bit of a low point right now. And so hopefully this type of opportunity to get the word out will encourage people to participate. I will tell you that occasionally we will have a participant come on who's not, it wasn't their idea. It was a son or a daughter or a nephew or niece that thought this would be a good idea. And here's how that plays out with me. I'll say to them, "Hey, look, here's how this works. This isn't about you. This is about giving peace of mind to your son. This is about giving peace of mind to your daughter, because they worry about you being home alone all day. And so you're going to take a few minutes, you're going to talk to me, and everybody's going to be happy." And they laugh about that. And then it's not about them. Then it's about, I'm doing something good for my son or my daughter or my niece or nephew. And so, and after a very few phone calls, not just for me, but from the other volunteers as well, they get as attached as we do, and they look forward to the calls. And We have a good time. We chat a lot about the weather, not so much about politics, but occasionally. And so it's a great opportunity for me to be out there with people, and hopefully for them, it gives them something to look forward to.
Do volunteers, Stacey, I guess this will be for you. Do volunteers need any special skills, or is there specific training?
They get training on the job. David is a wonderful mentor, so he usually helps bring and orient our new volunteers. But no, we just want people who are looking for a way to give back, who are kind, obviously have a comfort talking on the phone. But beyond that, no, just an interest in giving back. And for some, I think people want to feel the reward of helping somebody in the community, but maybe aren't as comfortable going into a hospital room and sitting bedside. So this gives them a nice alternative to make a social connection and to really help someone. This was a really, really valuable service, especially during the pandemic when we were all so isolated. And so people living alone were even more so isolated, that this became a really nice resource. And so, and I also will say that we have a wonderful, David is one of many volunteers through this program, and they're their own little community of volunteers. They all call the same individuals, so they often get together and talk about any, you know, challenges or concerns with any of the participants, making sure that everybody's on the same page, in the same loop. There is a little bit of technology involved. We do have a spreadsheet that is the way we document and communicate between each other. So someone who at least has some comfort navigating some technology, but we can also support that. But other than that, it's just the willingness to want to help and comfortable chatting a little bit with people.
How do you navigate, David, someone who maybe is a little chattier? They really want to just really have that conversation with, because you have, what's the span of time you make the calls? If you have 25 people you need to call, and you're doing it in how many hours?
Yeah, 90 minutes or so. It sometimes runs a little bit longer than that. So again, you get to know. I mean, everybody has a set call time, but it, you know, 5 minutes before, 5 minutes after, whatever, it's not etched in stone. And so you kind of know who your chattier people are. And even though the list is set up, I jump around the list and we'll get a couple of phone calls of people who I know, or it's going to be a quick, hey, how are you? Sun's out today. Be sure to, you know, be careful. If you're going out, be careful. It's icy, or that kind of thing. And then that gives me a little more time for that person. I jump to them and say, okay, this person I know is going to want to chat a bit longer. So we kind of work around that. Stacy mentioned the technology. It's a basic spreadsheet type of program that doesn't require a ton. But the beauty of it is that I can make notes. I'm talking with someone who tells me that they're not feeling well today, and I'll put that in the notes so that whoever calls that person tomorrow will see that note and follow up on that. And so sometimes after it shows up in the notes for 2 or 3 days, then the recommendation is, well, perhaps you should call your physician, or have you checked in with your daughter, because you know who the contact is. So the note piece is really important. It gives a sense of we know who they are. I had a call this morning where the notes from Friday said that she was worried about this. One of our clients was worried about her cat, that it wasn't feeling well. I opened my conversation this morning and said, well, how's Simon? Simon's the cat. And so, you know, it's sort of like, oh, Simon's better. And then it's, you know, it's good. But we also have had those cases where after a couple of days of notes of, you know, a person not being well or having a swollen foot or you know, it, then we can urge them to contact whoever it might be the contact is and get it looked at or whatever. So the continuity through that note process is so much better than when I started and it was all handwritten. and so this is a really great way. The technology has really helped us become much more attentive to the client's needs. So
That sounds great. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will discuss more about Caring Calls. Stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk discussing Caring Calls, a program of Northern Light Health. So if you want to get a call or make a call, as you've heard, this is a wonderful volunteer opportunity to meet really great people and to make a huge difference. The number is 973-7848, 973-7848, or just Google Northern Light Health Caring Calls. Pop that in your search bar. It will come up. And I have an email address, caringcalls@northernlight.org, caringcalls@northernlight.org. David, when we left, you were talking about what the calls are like, and I'm sure that you do discuss the weather a lot because we're in Maine, and that's a huge topic all the time. Do you have ever get any calls that maybe are more serious, and you think I need to do something about this aside from someone maybe not feeling well, but something that is a little more like makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up, like I need to tell someone?
Absolutely. Unfortunately. You know, I've had situations where a participant would share that there was a person who was borrowing money from them, and they weren't able to recover that money. And many of our clients struggle to make ends meet month to month. And so, you know, in that case, the contact that we had was not the person obviously borrowing the money, and I was able to contact this person and say, hey, I'm a little concerned about so and so. Sometimes, you know, they will share with you some health concerns that they might not share with somebody who they think is going to do something about it. And so you have to make, we're not social workers. We're not trained as social workers. And so you do have to know when to say when. And when to turn it over to someone. Certainly, as a volunteer, you can always go to Caitlin or Stacy and say, hey, I've got this situation. You know, how do we best handle this? But but we do. As Stacy mentioned earlier, we have had situations where we're unable to reach someone. You know, we summons help and they're found either having had some sort of a medical episode. And so that's always, and the other part of this is you do become attached to these people, and the list does rotate. Just a factor of life is that people either age on to some other type of living arrangement, either assisted living or a nursing home, or unfortunately they may pass, and it feels like a personal loss when you've talked to someone. So if someone is interested in volunteering, I would encourage them to contact Stacy. They are more than welcome to join me on any of the days that I'm there, and just sort of observe how this works and get a sense for the volunteers we have. So there are two volunteers 5 days a week. So we try to keep a set cadre of volunteers of 10 people. And that way everybody does one shift a week and whatever. That changes sometimes. Some people are good. We have one fellow who is a volunteer, but he's sort of our stand-in substitute. And so I'm constantly contacting him to fill in a day here and day there. But if people are interested in volunteering, typically, you would only be committing to one morning a week from, as Stacy said, 7:30 to around 10 a.m. would be end to end. And so so that way, it's not a huge commitment, but I guarantee you that if you were to join this program as a volunteer, you will look forward to that day each week.
It just sounds like such a lovely thing to do. Stacy, we are just about out of time. Do you have any final thoughts? And I will give the phone number, email, and website again.
Awesome. Just that I'm just really grateful to all of our volunteers who take the time and they really do care. They develop these relationships with a lot of compassion and heart, and they really do treat each of these participants like it was their own family. And you really do become friends. And so I think it's a really beautiful thing to know that you have a friend every morning just calling and checking in. And it can be as much or as little as you need it to be. But to have that reassurance, or to let, like David said, to let your family know that you have someone checking in and giving them that reassurance. I know that would have meant a lot to me when my mom was still here. And then, of course, joining our volunteer team, I think we have the best volunteers in town. I am really fortunate and privileged to lead such a wonderful group, and you would be joining really great company like David and the rest of the Caring Calls team. So we hope to hear from you, whether it's to add yourself to our list or to become part of our volunteer team. I hope to hear from everyone soon.
Thank you. Thank you both, Stacey Coventry, David Walker. Thank you so much for being here. The number to call, 973-7848. Google Northern Light Health Caring Calls to get that webpage, or you can email caringcalls@northernlight.org. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thank you so much for listening.